Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women by Valerie Young is a non-fiction self-help and psychology book focused on imposter syndrome, the persistent feeling that one does not deserve success and may be exposed as a fraud. Drawing on Young's research and public speaking work, the book explains why capable people can discount their achievements even when external evidence shows competence. Its central purpose is not simply to name the problem, but to show how imposter feelings are reinforced by unrealistic standards of competence, perfectionism, and harsh self-evaluation. The book is especially associated with women in professional settings, although its framework applies to men as well. Rather than treating self-doubt as a lack of ability, Young presents it as a pattern of thinking that can distort performance, decision-making, and confidence. The result is a practical guide for readers who want to understand how imposter feelings operate and how to respond to them more realistically. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, imposter syndrome is a persistent pattern of misreading competence. The book defines imposter syndrome as more than occasional insecurity. It is a recurring pattern in which accomplished people interpret success as luck, timing, charm, or outside help rather than ability. This matters because the book does not frame self-doubt as irrational weakness. It shows how the mind can selectively filter evidence so that achievements feel temporary or accidental. Young argues that imposter feelings often survive even when a person has repeated proof of competence, which is why simple reassurance rarely solves the problem. The power of this framing is that it shifts the issue from whether someone is actually capable to how they evaluate their own capabilities. That distinction makes the syndrome easier to understand and address. Instead of asking why successful people feel unworthy in a vague sense, the book identifies a specific cognitive habit discounting success while amplifying uncertainty. This gives readers a concrete starting point for change, because the problem becomes identifiable, nameable, and therefore more manageable. The five imposter types and their hidden competence rules. One of the book's most distinctive contributions is its five imposter types: perfectionist, expert, natural genius, soloist, and superhuman. These are not personality labels in a clinical sense. They are patterns of internal rules that set impossible standards for what competence should look like. The perfectionist believes anything less than flawless performance is failure. The expert assumes true competence means knowing everything before acting. The natural genius expects ease and quick mastery, so effort itself can feel like evidence of inadequacy. The soloist believes asking for help undermines legitimacy. The superhuman tries to excel in every role at once. What makes this framework useful is that it explains why two people can both feel like imposters for different reasons. Their anxieties may look similar on the surface, but the underlying rule they are trying to satisfy is different. By naming these types, the book helps readers locate their own distortion more precisely, which is essential for changing behavior rather than merely trying to feel better. Thirdly, competence extremism and the false choice between brilliance and failure. Young's analysis centers on what she calls competence extremism, the tendency to think about ability in black and white terms. In this model, people see themselves as either highly competent or completely inadequate, with little room for normal variation. This helps explain why a temporary mistake can feel catastrophic if competence is imagined as a narrow peak. Any slip seems to mean the person has fallen off the map entirely. The book's argument is important because it shows how imposter syndrome is sustained by the standards people use to judge themselves. If competence is treated as a constant state of effortless brilliance, ordinary learning, uncertainty, and inconsistency become evidence of fraud. Young instead pushes readers toward a more realistic view in which capable people still have uneven days, partial knowledge, and moments of confusion. That is not a lowering of standards so much as a correction of unrealistic ones. The practical implication is that confidence grows less from proving perfection and more from accepting a wider, more accurate range of human performance. Fourthly, why women are especially likely to internalize fraud fears at work, although the book acknowledges that imposter feelings affect many people. It pays particular attention to women in professional environments. Young argues that women are often socialized to question their authority, minimize their achievements, and overcompensate for any sign of uncertainty. In workplace settings, this can produce a cycle in which success increases pressure rather than relief, because greater visibility also increases the fear of being exposed. The book is careful not to claim that women lack ability. Instead, it shows how they may be more likely to interpret normal challenges as confirmation of inadequacy. This is why behaviors such as overpreparation, perfectionism, staying quiet, or avoiding risk become central to the book's analysis. These habits may look like diligence or humility, but Young treats them as defensive responses that can limit growth. The value of this topic is that it places imposter syndrome in a social and professional context, not just a private emotional one. That makes the book relevant to workplaces, leadership development, and career advancement. Lastly, practical strategies for replacing self-doubt with accurate self-assessment. The book is not only diagnostic, it is explicitly intervention-oriented. Jung encourages readers to notice their imposter patterns, challenge distorted self-talk, and begin taking success seriously instead of dismissing it. A major practical point is that overcoming imposter feelings does not require becoming endlessly confident or never feeling doubt again. Or, instead, it requires learning to act without letting self-doubt define reality. The methods suggested throughout the book emphasize realistic self-appraisal, accepting praise, recognizing effort as part of competence, and making peace with being imperfect while still capable. This approach is effective because it targets both cognition and behavior. Readers are asked to question the internal rules that drive overpreparation, avoidance, or silence, then replace them with more functional responses. The book stands out among confidence-oriented titles because it does not rely on generic encouragement. It offers a structured way to reinterpret experience, which makes the advice more durable and more directly applicable to work, leadership, and career transitions. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who repeatedly discount their achievements despite clear evidence of ability, especially professionals, students, managers, and anyone navigating demanding environments where comparison and evaluation are constant. It is also useful for coaches, mentors, and leaders who want a clearer understanding of why talented people may hesitate, overprepare, or avoid visible opportunities. Its main benefit is that it gives readers a precise vocabulary for a common but often misunderstood experience. Rather than treating self-doubt as a vague confidence problem, it identifies pattern thinking, shows how those patterns shape behavior, and offers practical ways to respond. Compared with many books on confidence, it is more diagnostic and less inspirational in tone, which makes it more useful for readers who want an explanation that matches their lived experience. What distinguishes it in the self-help category is the combination of research-informed analysis, memorable categories, and workplace relevance. It is not about becoming fearless. It is about recognizing imposter logic and learning to function effectively without letting it control decisions, opportunities, or self-worth. If you would like to support Valerie Jung, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.